Joey rolled his few belongings in his blankets, tied them behind the saddle, then carried saddle and bridle out the door. Bo brought up Ta, leading him along by nothing more than a gentle grip on the horse's mane. Gentle as a dog, but not half as smart. About like Bo. Joey gritted his teeth in frustration. Well, it was a long way home. Somewhere along the road, with any luck, he would catch Meekum off guard. The man had to sleep sometime. When he did, Joey would slip away. He wasn't going to his death without putting up the struggle of his life. Bo saddled Ta and pulled the girth up tight.
You realize after a while that this is the best thing for you. If you stayed with me, you'd probably grow up a drunk.
You've been sober for more than a week.
Well, I won't be tonight. Go back to your stepmother, kid. She'll be so happy to see you, maybe she won't even give you a whooping for running away.
She'll be happy, all right.
Bo boosted him up into the saddle. Joey could not control the sudden flow of tears.
I'm trying to tell both of you to just listen. She'll kill me.
You've got her all wrong, boy. Come on, let's go.
They started toward the river. Bo watched them a minute, then came running, waving his arm.
Hey! Hey, what about that bottle you were going to give me?
Meekum pretended not to hear him. He put the horses into a long trot and quickly outdistanced Bo. Despite the fear that put pain in the bottom of his stomach, Joey found satisfaction in the fact that Bo had been beaten out of the promised whiskey. Mr. Meekum probably didn't have a bottle with him in the first place. It served Bo right. Gradually, Joey began pulling himself together, trying to bring his fear under control so he could think clearly. He realized Meekum was not heading toward the shallowest spot to cross the river.
If we follow the wagon road, it'll take us to the ford. The horses won't even have to swim.
They're shorter this way. You need a bath anyhow. Look at the dirt on you.
Been building fence. We're going by town, ain't we? Mr. Tatum owes me some wages.
It wouldn't be more than $4 or $5 at best, but the grocer had seemed an honorable and intelligent man. He might listen if Joey could just talk to him. It was a chance. Meekum did not reply. He rode down the long, slanting riverbank and stopped at the edge, looking back. The water appeared sluggish, but Joey knew it could be deceptive. The undercurrent was swifter than the surface.
It's real deep right here. There's shallower water upriver a ways.
Well, this'll do. A little swim won't hurt the horses.
Meekum took hold of Ta's reins, pulling them out of Joey's grasp and over the horse's neck. When Ta showed reluctance, Meekum circled behind him and slapped him across the rump with a quirt. Ta plunged in. Soon, Joey sensed that the ground had gone out from under the horse's feet. Ta was swimming, fighting the current. Joey held the horn with both hands. It was a challenge to stay in the saddle.
We ought to have gone to the ford!
Something bumped Joey's leg hard. Joey saw Meekum had drawn his horse up against him. A chilling look burned in his stepfather's eyes.
Come here!
Meekum grabbed Joey's arm.
No, please don't! No!
Meekum dragged him free of Ta and plunged him into the water. Joey clutched at Ta's mane, at the saddle strings, at the horse's tail. But Meekum held his arm, pulling him away, pushing him under.
Mr. Meekum! What are you doing?
What he was doing came clear in a blinding flash of panic. Meekum was trying to drown him. Many other things suddenly came clear, too.
Quit fighting! Ain't gonna do you no good!
He pushed Joey down and tried to hold him, but the struggle threw Meekum's horse off balance and caused its nose to go underwater. Terrified, it came up fighting the river. Meekum lost his hold. Joey began swimming away.
Damn crazy horse, calm down! Damn you, boy!
Meekum brought the mount under control, and Joey felt a hand clutching at his arm. He dove to get out of reach and sensed the current taking hold, carrying him downstream. Coming up for air, he heard shouting.
Here! Joey, come to me!
Bo was swimming his brown horse, waving his arm. The weight of water-filled boots and wet clothes tried to drag Joey down, but he splashed toward Bo as Bo closed the distance. Joey grabbed desperately at Bo's outstretched hand.
Hang on, kid!
Joey clutched Bo's sleeve. Bo got his arm around Joey's shoulder.
I gotta make him! It's all right now!
Joey realized Bo had mistaken Meekum's intentions. He probably thought Joey had fallen off his horse and Meekum had been trying to rescue him.
No, no, he tried to kill me.
I'll get you to the riverbank. Then your Mr. Meekum had better have that whiskey.
Joey turned his head, though he had to blink the water from his burning eyes before he could see.
Bo! He's got a gun!
Bo was too surprised to move. Meekum pulled up beside him, pistol in his hand, and swung the barrel at Bo's head. The blow was deflected by Bo's upraised arm and softened by the crown of his felt hat.
God almighty!
Joey fell loose of Bo. Meekum's horse was already spooked. Joey's splashing and threshing frightened it more.
Damn beast!
Meekum tried to pull its head up. Fighting restraint, the horse plunged forward, rolling over onto its side.
No!
Meekum went under. He came up floundering and no longer had the pistol. The horse swam away from him. Meekum splashed around wildly.
Gotcha, Joey!
Bo managed to take a new grip on Joey's arm. Joey felt get out, steadying himself as he took solid footing on the riverbed. On the bank, Bo let Joey slip to the wet sand amidst several broken pieces of driftwood. Joey's heart was hammering. Joey saw Taw climbing out downstream, stopping to shake himself like a dog. Incongruously, Joey's immediate worry was the roll of blankets tied behind his saddle. They were strung out halfway to the ground and thoroughly soaked. He would have to sleep wet tonight. At least it would not be the long sleep Meekum planned for him.
What's the matter with him anyway? I didn't have to pistol whip me over a bottle of whiskey.
It would have been hard to explain a bullet hole in you.
Meekum was still splashing, reaching out his hands as if he sought something solid to grasp. There was only the water.
Help me! Help me!
You were a witness. He had to try and drown us both.
Bo slowly began to comprehend. He eyed Meekum without sympathy.
I don't believe the son of a bitch can swim.
This is three times him and Dulcio tried to kill me.
Well, they ain't very good at it, are they?
He pushed Get Out back into the river.
It'd be a great lesson for him if we let him drown. The sheriff wouldn't see it like me and you.
He drew up next to the gasping Meekum, took a handful of the man's wet collar and dragged him to the bank. He dropped Meekum in the mud at the river's edge.
What I ought to do is stomp the hell out of you and throw you back in. When you're done spitting up mud, I'll take you to town and let the sheriff treat you like he's been treating me for so long.
Joey clenched his fists. He could see the plan.
I bet he was gonna say I ran away from him and got drowned when I tried to cross the river.
It's a pity the sheriff didn't believe your story in the first place.
You didn't either.
Well, it sounded like something a runaway kid would make up.
At least you came out to help me.
I had no such notion. I came to get the whiskey he promised me. Now see if you can catch his horse and look in his saddlebags.
You'd sell your soul for a bottle of whiskey.
I already did. A long time ago.
A blur of movement caught Joey's eye. Meekum rushed toward them. A large chunk of driftwood swung back over his shoulder.
Watch out, Bo!
The warning was too late. Bo staggered, instinctively throwing his arms up against a blow that had already struck. Meekum raised the club again. Joey grabbed up a piece of driftwood as large as he could handle. He aimed for Meekum's head. Meekum bent forward and the stick struck him in the ribcage. Bo grappled with him for the heavy club. The two staggered and splashed back into the edge of the river. Both men had their hands on the club. Bo threw Meekum off balance, then thrust the club into the man's face. Blood burst from Meekum's nose. He stumbled, but kept his hold on the club. Joey waded in and swung his stick again. Meekum faltered. Bo jerked the club free. He brought it around hard. Meekum staggered backward and fell into the river. The current carried him away, face down, blood streaming behind him before losing itself in the flow of the river. Knee-deep in the water, Joey watched in shock as the body drifted downstream.
We killed him, Bo.
He was trying to kill us.
But Bo was shivering too, and Joey knew it was not because of cold water.
He came within an inch of getting it done.
Bo raised a hand to feel of the place on his head where the first blow had struck. It bled a little. Meekum's body disappeared around a bend.
We better go tell the sheriff.
Tell Gardner? Oh, no. No, he'll call it murder. He's been saying all along that I get on a big drunk and kill somebody someday. He wouldn't believe word I tell him.
Maybe he'll believe me.
Remember how much good it did to tell him about your stepmother? I figure I got into a fight with Meekum over him taking you home. They'd probably say I was trying to make him give me some money to turn you loose.
But Mr. Meekum tried to kill you.
Yeah, but nobody knows it but me and you. And that sheriff's been itching for an excuse to salt me away for good.
What do we do? The body is sure to wash up somewhere.
From what Meekum had said, the sheriff himself had sent him here, Joey realized. When the body was found, the lawman would know where to look for answers.
You can stay here. The sheriff will put the blame on me anyhow. There ain't but one thing for me to do, and that's to hightail it out of here. Get as far away as I can before the law starts looking for me. I'll lose myself out west someplace where they can't find me. Arizona, maybe, or California, whichever one's the farthest.
Joey visualized the map on the schoolhouse wall.
That'd be California, I guess. But it's an awful long ways.
Yeah, the farther I get, the better. Old Gardner's heavy on his feet. He'll get tired of traveling. I better catch up my horse.
The two returned to Casper's spread so Bo could gather his belongings and head out. Try as he might, he could not persuade Joey to stay at the ranch. Gidout was the stronger animal, but Joey just kept following on Ta. After a couple of miles, Bo stopped and waited. He pointed his thumb toward a darkening sky.
It's cloudy in the west. Fixing to rain misery. You sure you want to face that?
You can stand it. I can.
First time you start to cry, baby, on me, I'm leaving you.
Son, I'll come up out of the west before Bo sees another tear in my eye. Are we going to travel? Or are we just going to sit here and talk?
Crazy kid.
Bo put Gidout into a trot. After a while, the rain started. Joey hunched his shoulders against the chill of it, for he had no slicker. He had only a light cotton jacket, and it was wrapped in the roll of wet blankets. He set his jaw, determined not to let Bo see the pain he felt in his body and in his soul.
We'll follow the river as far west as Austin, but we won't tarry there. That town's full of lawyers and people studying to be lawyers. It's no place for an honest man.
Joey thought back to the nice Mr. Wilson, who had always been a friend of Pa's.
What's wrong with lawyers?
They rob you without a gun and charge you for doing it.
We ain't got much worth stealing.
They'll take it anyway, just to keep in practice.
Bo rode a long time in silence. Joey might as well have been talking to Taw for all the response he received. The rain had stopped, but the sun had not emerged from behind the clouds. A light wind cut through Joey's wet clothes and made him shiver. It also reminded him how long it had been since he had eaten.
I'm getting hungry, ain't you?
There you go crybabying on me. I got a lot more to worry about than your empty belly. I'm traveling as long as there's daylight, maybe after there ain't. You turn back if you want to. I wish the hell you would.
Me and Tyler still be going after you quit.
Bo did not stop until at least a full hour after darkness had fallen. Joey thought some bacon would taste real good, broiled on the end of a stick.
I'll build us a fire.
Have the law spot it? You ain't got a lick of sense. Besides, where are you going to find any dry wood?
This mess wasn't my doing. If you got to blame somebody, blame Dulcie and Mr. Meekum.
It's part your fault. I never laid eyes on you but once till you come riding into town and dumping all this aggravation on me. Why couldn't you picked on somebody else?
There wasn't anybody else. Not kin, anyway.
Oh, we ain't kin. Second cousins don't count. I was living happy and free till you come along.
Not very free. You were in jail.
That is a smart-alecky way to talk to a man that saved your life.
I saved yours, too. He was about to stove your head in when I hit him with that stick.
None of that would have happened if you hadn't come here. God, I oughta rode off and left you. I still got a mind to do it.
Go ahead, then. I got along by myself all the way to Bastrop.
The law'd probably have you before sundown tomorrow, and you tell them where I's headed.
I don't know where you're headed, and I don't think you do either.
I didn't have time to plan ahead, or I'd have done a better job of it. God, I wouldn't have you hanging on my back like dead weight.
Joey stewed in silence, for he was weary of an argument that was not going anyplace. He ate some of the food Emma had sacked for him, then rolled himself in his blankets. When Joey opened his eyes, he found himself blinking at the rising sun. For a moment, despite his own earlier intention of going off and leaving Bo, he had a momentary sinking feeling that Bo might have ridden away and left him. He looked around desperately. Bo had a small fire burning, and a tin bucket of coffee sat precariously on small pieces of blazing driftwood. Joey wondered how he had ever gotten them lighted.
You gonna sleep all day? Sheriff Gardner's probably been on the trail for 2 hours.
I didn't sleep hardly any. Must have dropped off just before sunup.
Bo had some thick slices of bacon impaled on a couple of sharpened sticks, dripping fat into the fire. The aroma awakened Joey's hunger.
I'm figuring to make many a mile today, so you better get yourself fortified if you're going with me. Sure you're old enough to drink coffee?
Joey had been coming around to an easier tolerance of the stuff, though it was black as tar the way Bo boiled it.
You think I'm just a schoolboy?
Yes, and I wish you still in school.
School's out.
Nah, not here it ain't. You better be a fast learner.
They ate hastily, Bo's gaze going off into their back trail. Soon they mounted up.
You better keep up. I ain't waiting for you in that burrow you're riding.
Ta ain't no burrow.
Ain't much of a horse either.
Go on, leave me if you want to. I'll be all right.
Now, I laid awake most of the night studying on doing just that. But I owe something to John. He was my cousin.
By midday, Ta required more spurring to make him match Bo's pace.
We've got to rest these horses for a while or we'll run them into the ground.
They had been avoiding the road, following the course of the river. Joey could often see horse and wagon traffic at a distance, however. The increasing frequency indicated to him that they were nearing Austin. He knew from school it was the capital of the state. The governor lived there, and the legislature. Pa said most of the laws were made in Austin, so what Bo told him about the place being infested with lawyers rang true. They rode down off the river's high bank where they would not easily be seen. Bo staked the two horses to graze and parceled out Emma's food sparingly. Joey could easily have eaten twice as much as Bo allowed him, but he would not show weakness by complaining. He noticed that Bo took no more for himself. Killing somebody probably dampened a man's appetite, Joey thought, though his own hunger was not noticeably diminished.
I didn't get much sleep last night. Fixing to catch me a few minutes nap. You keep watch.
Joey resented the order, but did not want to start another argument. He had not won one with Bo yet. At best, their set twos had come to a draw. Joey walked up onto the bank where he could see for some distance.
Don't you go to sleep!
That was just what Joey did. The shade was a pleasant refuge from the warmth of the sun, and the high-pitched singing of insects in the trees was like a lullaby. Hoofbeats awakened him. Opening his sleepy eyes wide, he saw five horsemen approaching from the east, so close he could have thrown a rock and hit one had he not been paralyzed by surprise. He could only stare and wonder how they had slipped up on him so easily. He felt ashamed for his dereliction of duty. He was also scared, for he saw a badge on one man's vest. It was round with a star inside. A Texas Ranger badge, he realized.
Well, son, you're not out here all by yourself, are you?
Joey could not speak.
We've been following the tracks of two horses.
He eased carefully to the high bank and looked down to where Bo slept. The officer drew a pistol, motioned with it, and led his four followers down toward the water. Joey managed to find his voice.
Bo! Look out!
Bo jumped to his feet, but it was too late for him to do anything. He saw the lawman's six-shooter and raised his hands. His jaw dropped with dismay.
I give up! Don't shoot!
Joey reached his cousin's side. Bo's eyes burned with accusation.
You went to sleep, didn't you?
So did you.
The lawman gave Bo a long study, then lowered the pistol.
Sorry we gave you a scare. You're not the man we're looking for.
I'm not?
I'm Sergeant Curtis Wheat, Texas Rangers. We're hunting for Miller Dawson, the outlaw. We got a report he was seen over this way yesterday. Of course, that may not mean much. People claim to have seen him in Dallas and El Paso, both the day before. We came across your tracks and thought you might be him.
I ain't.
The lawman holstered the pistol and leaned forward in the saddle.
What would your name be?
John Smith.
And you?
Joey was surprised at the speed and ease of his own reply.
Joe Smith.
St. Peter was going to call on him for a full explanation someday, but surely the good angel would consider extenuating circumstances. The officer appeared to doubt. He extracted a small notebook from his shirt pocket and thumbed through it.
You'd be surprised how many people named Smith I've run into in 7 years of rangering.
He ran his fingers down several pages. He looked up at Bo.
You may be in the book someplace, but I haven't got time today to read the whole thing. We've got bigger fish to catch than you and your son.
We ain't no fish at all. We're just farmers on our way to town.
Then we'll be about our business of catching Miller Dawson. Chasing him, anyway. Should you run across him by some accident, give him plenty of room. He is a dangerous man.
I promise you, we won't bother him none.
Joey could not stifle his curiosity. He had heard Sheriff Gardner mention Miller Dawson's name.
Ain't he some kind of Robin Hood or something?
Robin Hood took from the rich and gave to the poor. Miller Dawson takes from the rich and poor alike, and I ain't heard of him giving any of it away.
The boy's read too many books. Too much reading ain't good for anybody. Clouds the mind.
Some people make a romantic figure out of a brigand like Miller Dawson, but they're not the people that have seen him over the muzzle of a six-shooter.
He put the book back into his pocket.
One piece of advice. If you are in the book, I would advise you to keep riding till you wear your horse's feet off to the knees. Texas law has a long memory and a long arm.
The posse rode up the riverbank and quickly disappeared.
You like to have got me hung that time.
He wasn't looking for you.
He could have been, for all you knew. Where'd you learn to lie like that? I bet you've been keeping bad company.
Not till lately.
Bo unstaked his horse and motioned for Joey to do the same.
Well, they've rested enough, and so have you.
Which way are we going?
Whichever direction that ranger took, we'll take another.
Oh, sure thought he had us.
Well, we've been traveling faster than the news. We better not slow down or it'll catch up to us.
That ranger followed our trail easy because there was just two horses. Sheriff Gardner could do the same thing.
That's why we're traveling fast.
Joey pointed southward to the distant road, where he could see a freight wagon and a couple of riders.
Seems like it'd be harder for him if our tracks was all mixed up with a lot of others.
But on the road, people'd see us.
What would they see? Like you told the ranger, just a farmer and his son on their way to town. There's probably a lot of them.
I don't know where a boy like you comes up with such damn fool ideas.
Soon Bo began edging southward and fell into the main road. As a wagon passed, Joey looked back. Its wheels and horse team were obliterating part of the tracks left by his and Bo's horses.
Few more wagons and there won't be a sign we pass this way.
As they came to the top of a gentle hill, Joey saw a town spread out before them, most of it lying north of the river. A lot of the buildings were of stone or brick. It was the largest town he had seen, larger than Bastrop. He reasoned it must be Austin.
We better lay in a few more supplies before we head off to the west. But I sure could use a drink.
You said we weren't going to tarry long.
It won't take long to buy a bottle of Obi Joyful.
If you do, you won't get 2 miles down the road. I'll go and leave you where you fall.
You're a millstone round my neck anyway.
A millstone round your neck isn't me, it's that damned whiskey.
He surprised himself using a word like damned. He supposed it was the company he had been keeping.
When men are talking, children keep their mouths shut.
I'll keep my mouth shut when you start talking like a man.
Bo descended into a sulking silence that he did not break until they found themselves looking northward up a wide and busy street. At the far end of it, behind scaffolding, Joey could see a large construction site. A dozen or so wagons and teams of horses and mules were clustered about it, and a couple of dozen men worked against or atop the walls.
It must be the new capital. The old one burned down. They're building this one with stone.
Though only the first story walls had been raised so far, Joey could tell this would be a huge structure.
Looks bigger than Pa's cornfield.
Well, folks would be sorry they didn't let that thing stay burned down. Politicians bring nothing but misery, like Sheriff Gardner.
Bo gave the capital no more of his attention. He sought out a general store.
I'll go get us some more bacon and flour and stuff. You watch the horses. Town like this, somebody's liable to try and steal them and get a crooked lawyer to swear they were his in the first place.
Joey was relieved Bo went for the groceries first, before any whiskey. Otherwise, the groceries might never get bought.
Well, young man, I see you and your father made it to town all right.
Joey's mouth went dry when he saw Ranger Wheat, still on horseback.
Yes, sir. He's taking care of some business.
And what did you say your name is?
Smith. We're both Smiths. My name's the same as my daddy's. Did you find the outlaw you was looking for?
Miller Dawson. Nah, the report was probably false. Most of them are, but we'll catch him eventually. No wanted man gets away forever.
None of them?
One way or another, every guilty man pays his debt.
Wheat started to leave, but paused.
That's a good lesson for every boy to learn. Wanted men must always keep looking back. Stay out of trouble, and you can keep your eyes on the green hills ahead.
Joey watched the ranger ride up the street, then turned his head to see what might be behind him. Coming out of the store with 2 sacks, Bo tied the larger to his own saddle and the smaller to Joey's.
Well, that takes care of luxury. Now for the necessities.
He pointed to a brick building where a sign declared, Spiritus Liquors.
In a town full of lawyers, you'd think they'd at least know how to spell proper. It's supposed to be a K in liquor, ain't there?
I don't know. Word never came up in school. You promised we wouldn't be here long. No telling how near the law is to catching up with us.
You think I forgot?
I don't need to be lectured by a 10-year-old boy.
12, going on 13.
Bo came back sooner than Joey expected, though his breath indicated that he had taken time for a quick drink, or maybe two. He carried a bottle.
They say there's a lot of snakes in that western country.
He deposited the bottle in his saddlebag and mounted Gidout. Watching him, Joey had a bad feeling. With Bo, one drink led to another, and another, and another, until the bottle was empty or Bo was on his back, whichever came first. They rode south down Congress Avenue. Followed far enough, Bo said, the street became the San Antonio Road. Joey wondered whether to tell him about seeing the ranger. That might arouse Bo's cautionary instincts. On the other hand, it might just make him drink more. Bo needed no encouragement to drink. He stopped at the edge of town and took another long drag on the bottle, then reined onto a westerly wagon road. Joey looked back. He did not expect pursuit this soon, but one could never be sure. That ranger, Wheat, seemed like a man who knew his business. A ways beyond town, they came within sight of the quarry from which the blocks for most of the Capitol building had been cut. Men with rifles guarded other men, some white, but most of them black in dirty prison garb. Bo stopped briefly to watch and take another drink.
Convict labor. Old legislator ought to be out here sweating in that rock pile instead of back yonder, passing laws to tax a working man.
Joey thought the biggest levy Bo had ever paid was probably the liquor tax, but judgment prevailed against his expressing that opinion. Another thought chilled him. If they caught and convicted him for his part in killing Mr. Meekum, he might wind up in such a place as this. He tried not to look at the quarry again, but some morbid fascination made him turn in the saddle to stare. He saw prisoners straining to hoist a large square stone onto a wagon with block and tackle.
Poor fellas.
There's poor ones. Them to go to the rope.
They had traveled perhaps a mile.
Guns?
Bo did not even turn to look back. By this time, he had made heavy inroads into the bottle's contents and was not seeing well.
Somebody's trying to get him a venison supper. Must be poor marksman, having to shoot at it three times.
Hope the deer got away.
Oh, you'd look at it different if you was the one hungry.
Somebody's coming up fast behind us.
It's that damn gardener.
Bo turned out of the trail, but it was already too late to hide. The horse was in plain sight, running.
Yep, we tried.
It became evident that the horse was carrying double. The man in the saddle was not Sheriff Gardner. He was a broad-shouldered, dark-complexioned man, with as big and black a mustache as Joey had seen in a long time. Joey did not get a good look at the other man until the blue roan horse came to a stop. He realized that the man behind the cantle wore the work uniform he had seen on prisoners at the quarry. The man in the saddle trained a pistol on Bo. His eyes were like flint.
We have need of your horse. Would you kindly step down?
Hell no! This is my horse. You go find you another one.
The man behind the saddle slipped to the ground, looking anxiously behind him.
We got no time to argue. Shoot him and let's be gone.
I don't like to shoot a brave man, but a fool is something else. Which are you, brother? Brave or foolish?
Joey was afraid Bo's false courage would get him killed.
He's been drinking, mister. He don't know what he's saying. Please don't shoot him.
Through his whiskey fog, Bo seemed suddenly to grasp the seriousness of the situation. His belligerence evaporated.
The law's after us, too. If you leave me a foot, what chance have I got?
Better than if I have to shoot you.
Damn you! Maybe I'll run into you again sometime and you won't have that six-shooter in your hand.
Yeah, perhaps when that day comes we'll have more time for pleasantries. Right now, we're a little busy.
His companion in the prison garb grabbed the reins from Bo's hand and swung into the saddle. He untied the blanket roll and war bag, letting them drop to the ground, lightening the load on the brown horse. The tall man shoved the pistol back into its holster.
There'll be some people along directly asking after us. Tell them we're sorry we couldn't stay and be sociable.
Bo stood swaying in the middle of the road, his arms stiff and fists clenched.
Damn, but I hate a horse thief.
He stepped over to where his blanket roll and war bag lay in the dust. The saddlebags had gone with the horse.
Shit! Not only took Get Out, but they got off with my sipping whiskey and most of our grub.
That sure is too bad.
Joey held down a smile that he knew was badly out of place. Bo's being afoot would slow them dangerously. Bo picked up his blankets and war bag and tied them on Ta along with Joey's stuff. It made for an unwieldy load.
I don't know if Ta can carry all this.
Well, walk if it bothers you. I'm having to.
Pursuit was not long in coming. Joey and Bo drew off to the side of the road. Four horsemen rushed past, giving them no more than a glance. They appeared to be guards from the quarry.
I hope they don't shoot your horse.
Well, they're so far behind, they won't even see him.
Bo was not accustomed to walking much. His shoulders began to droop, and the steady pace he had set at the beginning slowed to a painful trudging. Step by step, Bo had to force one foot to move past the other.
You want to ride Ta a while? I'll walk.
Your legs are too short for walking. They barely reach the ground.
I can walk faster than you've been doing.
Joey tried to raise his leg high enough to clear all the belongings tied behind the cantle, but could not. He had to swing it forward over Ta's neck, then jump to the ground. Bo dropped any pretense at argument. Bo managed to lift his right leg over the blankets, but once he was in the saddle, both legs hung down halfway between the stirrups and the ground. Ta looked back reproachfully at the extra burden.
I still say your horse is a half burro.
The four horsemen returned, no longer running their mounts. Their dejected attitude told Joey they had not caught up to the fugitives. An older man who appeared to be in charge gave Bo a critical study.
Ain't you ashamed of yourself riding and letting the boy walk?
He's younger than I am. You ever see anything of them fellas you were after?
Nothing but their dust. We shot a horse out from under one of them when they left the quarry, so they were riding double. Now they have two again.
Yeah, they stole mine. I'll be watching for the gink that took it. I'll make him wish he never seen me.
I don't know as I would do that, were I you.
He's got it coming.
He's got a lot coming, but you wouldn't want to be the one who gives it to him. Didn't you recognize Miller Dawson?
That was Miller Dawson?
Sure was. He came and busted out a Confederate that we had working in the quarry. He's too desperate a man for any farmer to be tangling with. If you happen across him, I'd advise you go around. Way around.
Miller Dawson. How many men has he really killed?
If all the stories are to be believed, 50 or 60, maybe 70. I expect there's been a little exaggeration.
The horseman jerked his chin as a signal to the other three.
Well, we best go make a report. Boss is going to be real put out about this.
Yeah, I don't suppose you'd want to lend a man a horse.
The men rode on.
Guess not.
Bo turned to Joey.
My God, boy. I cussed out Miller Dawson. Whew. I sure could use a drink of that whiskey.
If you push, you might catch up to Dawson and get it back.
They were surprised to come upon a camp where a small creek crossed the wagon road. A buggy stood beside a pyramid-shaped tent, the canvas too new to bear much stain. A black man knelt before an economical campfire, skillet in his hand. A gray-haired, blockily built white man stepped out of the tent and walked to the edge of the road, motioning with his hand.
Welcome, friends. Come share our camp for the night.
Bo studied the place distrustfully.
We need to be making some more distance before dark.
The stranger gave Joey a sympathetic study.
Well, this boy appears to be worn out.
His eyes held silent accusation, for Joey was still walking and Bo was riding.
Well, we've been taking turnabout on the horse.
That was true as far as it went. But in Joey's view, it had been much too long since they last traded places. Sizzling meat in the black man's frying pan gave off an aroma that set Joey's stomach to grumbling.
You all fixing supper, are you?
Venison. Samuel bagged a nice fat doe.
The black man smiled, showing a row of perfect white teeth. Joey walked to the fire, leaving his cousin little choice. Bo had to swing his leg high to clear the rolled blankets. He took a few stiff-legged steps to ease the cramping that came from the ill fit of Joey's saddle.
Well, the boy is doing fine, but I expect the horse has traveled enough for one day.
Welcome, then.
Our name's Smith.
That's a coincidence. So is mine. I'm Henry Smith, Judge Henry Smith.
Judge?
Yes, district judge. I make a circuit through this hill country. I'm on my way to Austin for a conference.
Bo dropped his gaze to hide the momentary panic in his eyes.
We appreciate your hospitality, Judge, but maybe we'd better see if we can go a few more miles.
Nonsense. Tomorrow's another day, and this boy looks tuckered, not to mention hungry. Come, lad, by the time you wash your hands and face in the creek, Samuel will have this first mess of venison ready for you.
Joey saw that he and Bo were trapped. To leave now would only arouse suspicion, if suspicion did not already exist. He went on his best behavior.
I'm much obliged, sir. So is my daddy.
I must say, I find it strange that you have only one horse between you.
Well, we had another, but a couple of outlaws stole it. One of them was Miller Dawson.
Miller Dawson? Are you sure?
Bo explained briefly what had happened after they passed the stone quarry.
Those misguided souls who romanticize the likes of Miller Dawson are deluding themselves. I hope someday to have him and all his confederates stand before me. It will be a swift and terrible judgment. We have been much too lenient with the criminal class. We should chop off the right hand of every thief. We should round up every man who has done murder and stretch his neck at the end of a rope. Exterminate them with no more thought than we would give to burning a wasp's nest until every last one is gone from the face of the earth.
He slammed his tightened fist into the palm of his left hand. Bo flinched.
Do you not agree, sir?
What if a man done a killing without meaning to?
Murder's murder. There's no excuse and no redemption short of the gallows.
Joey wanted to ask, what about a kid? But he remembered a saying that used to hang in a frame on the schoolhouse wall. Silence is golden. It had never meant so much to him as it did now. Joey did not know which bothered him most when they stopped the following evening, his weariness or his hunger. One of the items in the sack Bo hung on Joey's saddle in Austin was a box of crackers. Joey appeased his appetite by devouring some of those while he waited for the coffee to boil over a meager campfire. He wished they had some of the leftover venison Samuel offered. In their haste to depart the camp, they left it behind.
Where's the road lead to?
Well, I've never been this far west. The judge talked about Fredericksburg, so it must be somewhere out yonder.
Suppose we run into Indians?
I've been years since the last Indian trouble. You're more apt to have a rattlesnake crawl in your bed.
I already had one in my bed.
Tall was staked on a level spot where grass was plentiful. It had worried Joey to see the little horse carrying not only Bo's weight, but all of their belongings as well.
What are we going to do about getting you a horse? Tall can't keep this up all the way to California.
I ain't got the money to buy one. They can hang you for stealing. Maybe when we get far enough west to feel safe from Gardner for a while, I can get a job and earn one.
Joey spread his blankets on bushes, hoping the air would dry them before he had to crawl into them for the night. They were still damp from the soaking in the Colorado River. He seated himself beside the small campfire and opened Reuben's old Bible. He took out the photograph that he had placed between its pages.
What you got there?
Picture of Mama and Pa.
He handed it to Bo. Bo studied it.
I never did get to know your Mama much more than to say howdy to her. Me and your Daddy, though, we used to run together some as kids. One way or another, we never did get along very good after we got grown. He thought we were put on this earth for nothing but labor.
He did believe in work, but he was always good to Mama and me.
He felt his eyes begin to burn. He took the photograph back from Bo.
This is all I've got left from them, just this old picture.
Nah, that's not all. You got some good memories. It's more than I have from my folks.
No good memories?
Yeah, more like bad dreams. I bet your daddy never told you much about me, did he?
I don't remember that he ever did.
My daddy wasn't married to my mama. He already had him a wife. Folks say my mother was kind of a sporting woman. She didn't want me, so she unloaded me and ran off before I was old enough to remember much about her. My daddy's wife never wanted me either. And the old man's always telling me I'd never amount to nothing. I reckon I showed him he was right. When he died, the family lawyer saw to it that I didn't inherit nothing.
You could amount to something. Just gotta want to, is all.
Yeah, well, maybe when we get to California.
In the middle of the third afternoon from Austin, Bo walking and Joey riding, they entered a small settlement. A dozen or 15 stores and houses fronted on the road to form the settlement's main street. Several were constructed solidly of limestone blocks, smaller but otherwise similar to those being used in Austin's new state capital. The rest were of lumber with fancy gingerbread trim decorating porches and eaves, a touch of civilization in a land still largely raw. Joey's gaze fell on four horses tied to posts in front of a frame building. They switched their tails, trying to ward off flies. One was a blue roan. Another was a familiar-looking brown with a G.O. brand on its hip.
Looky yonder, Bo. Ain't that old Get Out?
Bo stopped dead in his tracks.
Damned if it ain't.
Looks to me like you're not the only man who's worked up a thirst. Miller Dawson must be inside.
I reckon so.
You gonna walk in there and tell him you want your horse back?
Oh, I don't like to bother a man when he's busy drinking.
Bo eased up to Get Out, rubbing his hand along the animal's rump, then its neck. After carefully looking around for anyone who might challenge him, he untied the reins, eased his foot into the stirrup, and swung up. He backed the horse away from the post slowly so he would not disturb the others tied nearby and attract attention. He motioned quietly to Joey and rode between the saloon and the store that stood next to it. Glancing back, he eased Get Out into a smart trot, then a lope. When they had gone 100 yards, he put the brown into a hard run.
Come on, Ta.
Though Joey pushed Ta for all the speed he could get, he lagged far behind. Bo reined the horse to a stop once he had moved into a stand of cedar dense enough to mask him from the settlement. Joey caught up, turning in the saddle to see if anyone might be coming after them. The sack of groceries Bo had bought in Austin was missing.
Well, they ate up the grub or lost it. My whiskey's gone, too.
Thought you were fixing to get a drink back yonder.
You know, sometimes you're not as funny as you think you are. I doubt Miller Dawson will laugh much either when he comes outside and finds his horse gone. Now, we better put some miles behind us.
Joey had read about Robin Hood. He thought if the merry bandit of Sherwood Forest had ever found the joke turning upon himself in this way, he would probably get a chuckle out of it. But Texas Ranger Custis Wheat had stressed the point that Miller Dawson was not Robin Hood. Several miles farther on, they saw another settlement, considerably larger than the last.
I'm awfully hungry.
And I'm thirsty.
Bo turned, looking back for sign of pursuit.
But I wouldn't want a bullet in my gut.
Joey was gratified that Bo was able to put temptation aside in the interest of self-preservation.
Maybe if you wanted to bad enough, you could give up drinking for good.
If I wanted to, but I don't want to.
Joey guessed the place was Fredericksburg. It had the solid look of a town meant to endure, more buildings of stone than of wood, and a couple of the tallest church steeples he could remember seeing. He was especially taken by a large structure fronting on the wide main street. It resembled pictures he had seen of a steamboat. The sign said, Nimitz Hotel. Farther north, an odd-shaped hexagonal building fitted Judge Smith's description of the coffee mill, the first church built after the early immigrants founded their town. Bo dug a few coins from his pocket.
I sure am dry.
And I'm still hungry. Don't you think the first thing you better do is buy some grub?
Boy, when you get the notion stuck in your head, you don't let go of it.
But Bo did stop in front of a store that had one small sign reading Eisenbach General Merchandise and a larger one with words Joey could not decipher.
Well, I don't know if they understand American, but I bet they understand money. You watch the horses.
When Bo came out, he hung one sack on his saddle and handed another to Joey.
You find some sardines in there.
He dug into his pocket for a coin and nodded toward another building which had a sign reading, Bäckerei.
Go get you some bread to eat with it. I got a little business next door.
Next door was a dram shop.
You've been doing real good. You don't need to be going in there.
You're just a boy. You got no idea what a man needs.
As he waited, Joey's feeling of helplessness gave way to anger, which in turn gave way to his hunger. He went into the little bakery shop, came out with a dark loaf, sat on the edge of the wooden sidewalk, and hungrily set to work upon the bread and a can of sardines from the sack. He had almost finished both when he became aware of two horsemen stopping in front of him on the street. Joey skipped a breath as he saw that one horse was a blue roan. He recognized its rider by his heavy black mustache.
Miller, you see what I do?
Joey pushed quickly to his feet. The sardine can clattered on the wooden walk, spilling oil and a remnant of tiny fish. The man who had spoken got down from a fine-looking sorrel. Miller Dawson still rode the horse Joey saw him on before. The younger man had exchanged his prison garb for a farmer's overalls and a homespun shirt, neither of which fitted him. Joey suspected he had stolen them from somebody's clothesline without attention to size. A Mexican sombrero sat squarely on his head. Joey could only guess where he had taken that, and how.
That's the horse I lost yesterday.
Forget it, Hull. You got a better one now anyway.
Yeah, and come near getting shot over it. Somebody here needs to be taught a lesson.
An ugly anger darkened Hull's face, accenting a long scar down his right cheek.
Last thing we need right now is to call attention to ourselves.
If there's anything in this world I hate, it's a horse thief.
The escapee's eyes bored into Joey.
I remember you, kid. Where's that horse-stealing partner of yours?
I ain't got no partner.
You ain't riding two horses.
The man's gaze turned to the door of the dram shop.
Oh, if you start a ruckus...
His confederate passed through the door. Joey ran for the dram shop.
Bo, look out!
A strong hand grabbed the back of his shirt.
Whoa, son. A boy your age has got no business in a place like that. It ain't respectable.
Joey wiggled free from Miller Dawson and hurried through the door. He saw Bo sprawled back against the bar, blood trickling from the side of his mouth. Hull swung his heavy fist again. The blow hit so hard, Joey feared it might have broken Bo's neck.
You stop that!
Joey made a running leap and landed on the man's broad back, wrapping his legs around Hull's waist.
You leave Bo alone!
Hull pitched like a horse, trying to throw Joey off, but Joey clung, clamping one arm around the man's head, covering his eyes. Hull's Mexican hat rolled across the floor. Joey was dimly aware that half a dozen bystanders watched in surprise, none moving either to help or to hinder him. He pounded his fist against the top of Hull's head. Hull tried to dislodge Joey by slamming him against the bar. Joey's anger crowded out reason. He bit down hard on Hull's ear, as he had seen men do to a horse they were trying to break. Bo seemed to be in a stupor. He staggered forward as if to help Joey, but Hull bumped into him and sent him reeling back.
Hull! You quit picking on that kid!
Joey felt strong hands take hold of him, wrenching him loose, pulling him away from the big man. Dawson spun half around, setting himself between Joey and the raging Hull.
That's enough! Enough, I say!
I'm gonna get the little...
Hull reached for Joey, but Dawson blocked him.
I told you I wasn't gonna stand for any ruckus. Now back off!
Hull did not back away. In a move so swift, Joey barely saw it. Dawson drew a pistol from its holster on his hip and struck Hull a stern blow across the side of his head. Hull went to his hands and knees.
Sometimes he won't listen to you. Talk to him kind of rough.
Joey broke free of Dawson and hurried to Bo, who was still groggy and disoriented. Dawson caught Hull beneath the arm and helped him to a chair at a small table.
Bartender, draw him a beer. Hell, draw us all a beer, except the boy, of course. You got any milk?
I don't need no milk. I don't need nothing from you, neither does Bo.
He tugged at Bo's torn sleeve, trying to lead him out of the shop.
Hold on, boy. Let your partner get his feet under him first. And you better settle down a little yourself. No use leaving here mad.
I got cause to be mad. Him whipping up on Bo just because Bo took back a horse that was his in the first place.
What's your name, boy?
Smith.
Funny. So's mine sometimes.
Dawson glanced at Hull to be sure he wasn't looking for more fights.
This Bo, is he your brother?
He's my cousin. Second cousin, anyway.
You all must be pretty close. You jumping in on his side so fierce.
Sometimes I've been mad enough to shoot him. But he's all the kin I've got.
Nobody in my family ever took up for me like that. You got grit, boy.
I didn't want him hurting Bo anymore. Me and him got too much traveling to do.
What's so important about traveling?
Joey glanced around to be sure nobody else could hear. With Dawson being hunted like he was, there shouldn't be any harm in telling him.
We're on the Dodge.
What did you all do? Tip over somebody's outhouse?
Dawson wasn't going to believe him any more than the others he had tried to tell. Well, he didn't owe an outlaw any explanation. He decided not to say anything else.
You and your cousin had better come with us.
What'd he need us for?
Soon as he gets his feet back under him, he'll want to complain to the law. We'd sooner he didn't.
He won't go to the law. He can't. They're looking for us, him and me both.
Joey wanted to retreat from Dawson's probing gaze, but could not take his eyes from the man. The outlaw seemed to be trying to believe him.
If that's truly the case, you'll both be better off riding with me and Hull.
Every lawman in this part of Texas was probably watching for Miller Dawson. To be with him would be like cuddling up to a lightning rod. Joey hedged.
I don't know what Bo would say.
He don't look like he's in shape to say anything right now. He don't even know which direction is up. Let's be going before the local law comes messing in our business. I never shot a Dutchman, and I don't feel like starting a day.
Dawson gave the bartender enough money to cover damages, pay for a round of drinks for everyone in the bar, and a bit more to help the bartender forget seeing him. Overriding Hull's objections and Joey's concerns, he then led the little group out of town. He turned at the first corner to get away from the main thoroughfare, then followed a residential street until they cleared the town. Watching to be sure Joey and Bo stayed with him, he swung into an easy lope. He cut into a wagon road that trended in a northwesterly direction.
Where are we going?
Llano River country. Hell, you could hide half the Confederate Army in those motts and cedar breaks.
The Confederate Army lost the war, didn't it?
Joey marveled at the strange turn of fate that had made him a fugitive and suddenly put him to riding with outlaws. Pa would not have understood, nor would Reuben. Joey did not understand either. The thought was at once frightening and exhilarating. He pictured himself telling the story to wide-eyed friends in school, then realized he could never go back to school or to his home. Mr. Meekum's unexpected demise nailed that door shut. Well, this was an adventure the likes of which he could never have pictured in his wildest dream. He decided to make the best of it for however long it lasted. Someday he could tell about it in California.